Hey, everybody. It's In the Word Podcast with Little Marie, and I'm Will.
And I'm Marie.
And we are excited to bring you episode 272. And the podcast has just been moving right along. And sometimes we'll take little gaps before we get another one posted. Yeah. But we're trying to get better. I know we've been saying that for a long time.
but
we're really trying to get better, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Amen.
We are. Yes. We are.
There's a lot to say.
Yeah, there's so many things to discuss. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a minute to take a look at this latest prediction of the Lord's return. This just happens all the time where people try to predict the return of the Lord. It's just a fool's errand to try to do it. There was this pastor, unfortunately, this South African pastor suggested that the Lord was going to return a couple weeks ago, September 23rd through the 24th of 2025. The date has already passed. Nothing happened. People sold their homes. They quit their jobs. They sold their possessions. They went and sat in church sanctuaries waiting for the Lord to return. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think it baffles me, you know, that someone would actually do that, you know, just, you know, make it a thing like that, make such a stink about predicting something that has not really been predicted by God. How can you possibly say that God told you he was coming back on this day or that day? And the fact that people would believe it and follow,
right?
That's what's really devastating to me, is those that sold all their stuff. How did they convince them that God was going to do that?
How did they convince them to not believe Matthew 24:36, which clearly says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows." Mm-hmm. Wait, not done yet. "Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone."
Yes.
"For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah." So what do you think a pastor has to say, or a minister, or a so-called prophet, or whatever, to convince people that that verse isn't saying what it says it's saying?
Right. I mean, so clear.
So clear.
I feel for them, because
you don't need Greek or Hebrew or a lexicon or a concordance.
Yeah, but what is going on in their lives? What are they feeling as far as their walk goes that they would come up with that and just overlook scripture and just promote that? And then there are people that are that serious about following that person and doing the same thing. That's where in Christianity, I guess, and I don't know how we could help people that go to extremes like that and you know, get people off the track. But that's what needs to happen, is to find a way to get people so locked into the written word of God, the word, what's written, that they won't go on these tangents and, you know, and believe things when you can clearly show them that it's not true. I don't get that.
I don't either.
But I pray for those people, because I don't know, something's going on in their lives that they felt it necessary to, you know, believe a lie.
Yeah. I mean, the Lord said in his word in Acts 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or epochs," which essentially dates, "which the Father has fixed by his own authority." Right. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So,
I mean, don't, whatever. I want the Lord to come, but I also want people to be saved too.
We're supposed to look for the Lord to come. Maranatha.
For his coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're supposed to desire his coming. Come, yes. Lord Jesus, come soon. Come now. But we're not supposed to predict and put ourselves in a position to be a false prophet, or to lose all credibility, and especially when people's lives are being ruined by having sold their land, their houses, quit their jobs, left their...
But see, they weren't believing the word. They were more believing, you know, what they thought or what somebody told them. Because when you're locked into the word and getting your knowledge and understanding of the word, no one can get you off track like that.
Right.
You know, so in my mind, you know, they weren't studying the word enough and getting an understanding so they could recognize an error at any moment, whenever.
Studying the word or study even human history.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's been recorded that there was, I remember back in the 80s listening to radio programs. There's this thing that was, there's this big mantra that was going on back in 1988. 88 reasons Jesus is coming back in 1988. October 21st, 2011 is the end of the world. December 21st, 2012 is the end of the world. Here's another one. Jesus is going to return during the year of Jubilee. Or Jesus is going to return during the next blood red moon. How many times have we heard that the moon is red? And we, you know, from those signs that we would read in Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation.
Right.
But why not just be ready anytime?
At any moment. Anytime.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know. I feel for them, but they should have known better.
It's sad.
It's sad.
Yeah. I mean, especially when the Lord just says, be ready all the time for we don't know.
I'm always looking in the clouds and like, are you really coming? I know that he's not going to really come in the clouds, but it's like I look around, just things that are written, I'm looking around like,
well,
okay.
Well, he is going to come in the clouds. Yeah.
So I get excited, you know, and when I do that, so. But yeah, God is coming back. It's just, but one thing I did think about when someone was talking yesterday, I think it was you that said something, and we were talking about, I just lost my thought that quickly.
About being ready when
about
Jesus comes.
About being ready and about, go ahead and talk.
I think we were talking about predictions and just about the whole idea of readiness, and I remember quoting Luke 10 when the disciples the 70 were all, you know, all pumped and excited about their exploits and demon exorcisms and so forth, and the Lord said, yeah, that's all cool, but you should really be excited that your names are written, you know, in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, that's what I get excited about too.
You know, and that,
hoping and praying that my name is written.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you were saying, like, you know, sometimes you look at the clouds or looking to be, you know, when the Lord might be returning. And I'm just almost the opposite. I'm looking inside and saying, am I ready? Is my heart right?
That's a part of mine,
you know,
too.
Have I forgiven, you know, those that have offended me? Have I been pure and clean before the Lord? Am I confessed up, prayed up,
exactly.
You know, whatever?
Yeah, that happens, too, all the time with me, where I'm like, I just pray. Because they, on that, there's a movie I was watching, and they were talking about coming, you know, they had a timetable or something. And he's wondering, you know, if he was on, you know, with that. So, it's, I don't know. There's a lot that can be said about all that stuff. But he's going to come when he comes in his time. And like you're saying, we should just be ready.
I think that's the key. I think the key is to work on, in my opinion, work on being ready.
Yeah.
I think the Lord wants us to, as he says in his word, occupy till he comes.
Yeah.
You know, follow the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19 of go ye therefore into all the world, you know, and make disciples.
Yeah.
And all the parables that encourage, you know, readiness.
Exactly.
And I don't think, you know, that he wants us to, you know, just sell our property and go up to the hills and start staring at the sky. Because, you know, Paul told those people that were doing that, I don't remember exactly where it was. So for some reason, I think it was in Corinthians about, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, you can't, you know, just go around living off of people while you're waiting for the Lord to return.
Right.
We have work to do.
Right.
You know, people need to hear the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I just pray that we up our prayer, you know, just
for
everything that's going on around the country and the world.
Right.
I just, in my mind, I think about our Christians around the world gathering together, even if it's just in heart, praying for the, you know, the peace of Jerusalem, and praying for you know, those that would hate us and want to attack us, and all of that kind of thing. That you know, we just up our prayer power, and walk in power, and know and believe until we get to a point where we know what God says is true, and He's coming back for us, and He's going to protect those that are His.
Absolutely,
you know, but we have to be ready. Be ye also ready.
Right, absolutely. And we know he's going to return, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, mm-hmm. Among other passages. There's, you know, also 1 Corinthians 15.
Right.
And there's other passages that you know, talk about the Lord's return. Even though we don't technically see the word rapture in the Bible, we get the concept of caught up.
Yes.
You know, we know that he's going to return, and he's very clear.
That's what I was trying to figure. How does, when I heard someone say in a twinkling of an eye, then it caught my attention. That was you, right?
That was me, yeah.
And I was like, what is that going to be like to be, because I imagine, in, you know, God drawing us up in the air, and we can see each other going up in the air, but not in a twinkling of an eye.
Right, yeah, that's pretty fast. I don't know. I don't know if that was a figure of speech,
right.
You know, a euphemism, or it could have, it could be exact.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The Lord, the Lord can do what he wants.
Whatever he wants.
You know,
that's
he
doesn't, right.
he's not bound by physics or science,
right.
or any type of thing that we feel here on earth.
Right.
You know, the Lord can do things that defies human
Hallelujah.
Expectations. Thank God that he can.
Yes, yes. Thank
so
you, Lord.
So that's the beautiful thing that
Come
we
Lord
have.
Jesus.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes. Because we know that he's going to come. We don't know when.
Yeah.
We don't know where. But we just know that he is going.
He's going to
return.
That belong to him. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. I love this. I love this passage, in 1 Corinthians that tells us about his return,
mm-hmm.
and it lets us know that this is our hope, that we believe in that, the resurrection. That's what gives us, if it says now in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is also in vain.
Yes.
So we definitely believe in the resurrection, because mm-hmm. He goes on to say, for if the dead are not raised and not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins.
Jesus, yeah.
But the Bible lets us to know that if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied.
Yeah.
So we
that's so clear.
Yeah, it's so clear. It's so clear. It's so clear that he's going to return, that we're going to enjoy the resurrection, because he was the first fruits of the resurrection.
Amen.
So Lord, we just ask you to help us to welcome your return, to pray for your return, to be evangelizing so that we can get others ready for your return. Help us as we live a life that honors you. Teach us to live in a state of Maranatha, a state of readiness, a state of waiting for your coming with work and busyness and occupying work that will get the message of the kingdom out, Lord, and that as many people can hear it as possible. We thank you and we praise you and we honor you. We love you in Jesus' name.
In your name, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Amen.